come on in. You can turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to be there in just a moment. Actually, in a few passages, but I encourage you to come to that. Turn to that. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I'm sure that hopefully most of you did. And no big, you know, huge family arguments or anything like that. Well, your family argues too? I have to make a confession. My wife's not listening right now, so that's good, maybe. No, a few weeks ago, actually, I did have an argument with my wife, Mel. And amazing. I know we never argue at all, ever. Ask our kids. And I honestly don't remember what it was about, but I do remember that it was my fault. And it's not one of those where just she says it's my fault. It actually was my fault. But it's interesting, you know, it was in the evening, and we were getting ready to head to bed pretty soon, and we were still upset, pretty upset at each other. And it was at that time that God kind of whispered, well, actually at that time he kind of spoke loudly into my life, and he brought to mind a scripture of mine, a scripture that I've known for years, and one that I try to live by. And it was actually, I heard this scripture from Ephesians 4:26, and it said, "Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry." And I heard that in my spirit, and I was like, "Crap!" And so I chose to apologize and make things right. You know, the funny thing is, I should have listened to the first part of that scripture earlier, which says, "In your anger, do not sin." But I obviously wasn't listening very well at that initial point. But you know, it's interesting how God speaks to us through His Word at different times, isn't it? We're going to talk about that this morning. You know, Jesus also had the Word of God in His mind and heart. If you look at Scripture, you see that Jesus spent the early years of His life as a boy, as a young man, learning the Scriptures. Well, that's kind of strange. Isn't Jesus God? Isn't He God's Son? Doesn't He already know it? Well, you know what? Jesus, as we celebrate during Christmas, came as a baby, came as a person, grew up as a young man. And He had to learn and read the Bible just like you and I do. He was fully human. He had to learn the Scriptures just like you and I do. And it's interesting, if you read Matthew chapter 4, you kind of see at the beginning of His ministry, we see one of the first things that happens at the beginning of His ministry is that He is tempted. He's tempted by Satan. And it's interesting, as you read that, that every time that He was tempted, what did He do? You guys, anybody know? He quoted Scripture. He took what He had learned as a boy and as a young man, and He kind of put it back in Satan's face, we might say. It's interesting, the first passage that He quotes is from Deuteronomy 6:16. When He's tempted, and he tells Satan, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In other words, every word that comes from God. And He went on and faced some other temptations, but it's interesting. I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, reminded Jesus of those scriptures as He was being tempted. And we see here, we're going to see this morning, that in the Bible, God, I believe, has given to us what some call God's written whispers. We talked last week about the still small voice of God, right? We're going to talk a little more about that this morning. But God often speaks to our spirit, to our soul, in a very quiet way. But Jesus here shows us an example of what it means to listen and to hear God. You know, one thing I've known throughout my life as a believer for the last 20, almost 30 years maybe, is that God has brought His Word back to my heart. He speaks to me, His voice speaks to me often through His Word. Not because I'm sitting reading the Bible, although that's certainly true at times, but even when I'm just going through life, like when I had this argument with my wife. And He speaks this truth that I had learned before. You see, if we want to understand a relationship with God, which we talked about 3 weeks ago, that the basis of hearing God is you first must have a relationship with Him. If we want to hear God's voice, one of the things that we must do is we must listen and read His Word, God's Word to us. See, God speaks to us, and one of the primary ways he speaks to us is through his word, what some have termed God's written whispers. See, we can hear God through the Bible. Think about something with me for a moment. You know, through our words, through what we say, we often say, you know what, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Usually we say that negatively, right? But think about it. When we speak, we are giving people a piece of our mind. What does that mean? We're giving them our thoughts. We're giving them kind of our feelings. We're sharing our lives with people when we speak to them. It's the same when the Lord speaks to us. When God speaks to us through his word, he shows us his character. He shows us his purposes. He shows us who he is and what he wants us to know. It's interesting that God, I believe, is present. Who he is and how he wants us to see him. He is present through the Bible to us. Turn with me to an important passage. It's kind of one of the, it's almost like a John 3:16 of why the Bible is important. You know, most people know John 3:16, but do you know 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17? And this happens to be the main one is 3:16. Sometimes it's easy to remember. But 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, and Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to a young man named Timothy. And he's talking to Timothy. He's kind of his mentor. Paul's mentoring him and showing him how to walk with God. Look what it says in verse 14. He says, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and what you've been convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy," in other words, since literally you were a baby, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And here's verse 16. "Because all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We see here that Timothy was raised. He was Jewish. He was raised in a Jewish household. At least his mother, for sure, was a Jew who loved God and who read God's word to him. And God had spoken to him as he was being raised. And he is convinced, just like Paul was, that the scripture was God-breathed, that it was from God. It's interesting here. We see that God's word comes to him. What does it say? Even from infancy. Interesting. That might not make sense. But some of you who have had little children, even before they could read or even understand, sometimes I know of parents who read scripture, who sing songs, right? And they hear scripture even when they're infants, even when they're young. And it's a wise, wise thing. For those who have ears to hear, God will speak. He will whisper his still small voice to us. And we see here, like a good father, I think really Paul is describing kind of a father here, as he's kind of talking about how God uses his word. As a good father does, some of these whispers from him are correcting words that correct us. Some of the words we have from the Bible are rebuking us. In other words, saying, don't do that. That's not good for you. Others are there to help us, to basically teach us. It says it's good for teaching, and it's good for ultimately showing us how to live, how to think. And it says it's training us to do what is right, training us in righteousness. It's a big fancy word. It basically says to do what is right in God's eyes. Paul tells Timothy and us in verse 15 that these scriptures are able to show us the way to salvation, the way to have a relationship with God. It's through the Bible that we hear about Jesus. We talked about this, I think it was 3 weeks ago. We talked about a relationship with Jesus. And that we do it by faith. It's just we see here in verse 15. We put our faith in Christ and what he did. And we celebrate Christmas, that he came. We celebrate Easter, Good Friday, Easter. He died and he rose from the dead. And it's through his word that we learn that. And we can, what does it say? Know the way of salvation. Know the way of salvation. But you know, for any kind of relationship with God to happen, there something else must happen. Not just to know it in our minds, but something else. So take a moment and turn I guess you say back in your Bible to Ephesians. It's probably literally like 10 pages to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 25 to 27. And as you turn there, as you kind of look at this passage, Paul here is talking to husbands. Okay, as you're going to see, he says to husbands, here's what you need to do. But he quickly turns, as he's talking to his husbands, to Jesus. And he gives Jesus as an example to these husbands of how they are to treat their wives. And we learn some things here about Jesus and about his word. And about how we can have a relationship and how we're to have this relationship with God. So, with this in mind, let's look at Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. And it says here, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. In other words, pure, right with God. Cleansing her by what? By the washing with water through the word. Key phrase. By the washing with water through the word and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Paul says if we're going to be part of the church, if we're going to be God's people, we must be washed in God's word. God's word, he says, washes us. What does that mean? Well, we had baptism last week, didn't we? We saw four people who were baptized. And part of the symbolism of baptism, that you're washed clean. The water symbolizes our sins being washed. And the word of God, and primarily the gospel, right? The gospel of the life and death of Jesus. When we receive that word, we are washed. We're washed clean. It says here, we become holy and blameless before God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not always blameless. Just ask my wife and family. But you know what? I am through Jesus' eyes when I accept his word. You know, the truth of the word of God is that it washes away our impurities, the clutters of our life, the sins of our life as we put our faith in Christ. Stop and think about it for a moment. Even those of us guys who don't maybe do laundry a lot, I still think we can maybe catch this, okay? Think about washing a dirty shirt. And you put it in the dishwasher. Not the dishwasher. See, I don't do it very often. It doesn't work well in my family when I put it in the dishwasher. You put it in the clothes washer, right? And you put the soap in there. And what happens? It starts to go around. And the water and the soap, they intermingle with the clothes. And it goes in there. And what does it start to do? Because of how it's, you know, whatever's in that soap, it begins to take away the dirt, right? Pretty soon, the dirt that's lodged within those fibers is making its way out. And when we come to God, our minds and our hearts are cluttered. They're full of all kinds of dirt and grime that are part of us, right? It can be filled with false attitudes, with bad attitudes that we have, or false beliefs. Before we come to God, we have all kinds of ideas about God that aren't right. We come with past sins, things that we're hanging on to that aren't good, or misguided plans. We have these plans for our life that are not even close to what God wants, or we have misguided hopes, or even misguided fears of things that we don't need to fear. And God's word comes in and it begins to cleanse us, to take those things and wash them away. The word of God moves in every part of our personality, and like that soap and water, it wants to wash us up. Not just at salvation. That's what initially happens at salvation when we receive Christ. It says our sins are clean. We're as white as snow. But it's not just a one-time thing. It's throughout our lives. Throughout our lives, God continues to wash us up. His word speaks to us and shows us how we're to change and act, just like he did with me a few nights ago with my wife. You know, I needed some washing up at that time. What a multitude of things must be washed, right? And all these things, the worldly and selfish attitudes, misguided beliefs, all those things can pose a detriment to us hearing God. Think about it. Can you hear God when you have all those things going on in your life? All that dirt cluttering up kind of the way that we hear God? Only the powerful and living word of God is capable of removing them. You know, even for those of us, many of you here may have been Christians for years. Maybe you grew up like Timothy and you grew up in a godly home, But you know what? You still need God's word. You still need that inward change that will help you to hear God correctly and consistently in your life. Because even as Christians, we get that clutter back in there, don't we? We allow that dirt of sin or that attitude or whatever to come in and clog up that relationship with God. And that's why it's so important to hear, to read, to study the Bible, to study God's word, to hear it for ourselves, to allow it to continue to wash us. It's interesting, to prepare us, Paul said, as Christ's bride. Prepare us as the bride that he will present to his Father, blameless and pure. What a blessing to have God's written word, to have God's written whispers that speak to our lives if we allow it to. But God doesn't just want us to be clean of the stains and the clutter and the dirt of this life, of our sin and so on. He has something even better, not just to clean us, but to give us something even more. Turn over maybe 2 pages, 3 pages to Philippians, a different letter that Paul wrote to the church. Philippians 2. It's right after Ephesians, Philippians 2. Paul's writing to a different church in Philippi. And he says this in verse 15 and 16. He says, so that you may become blameless and pure. Okay, there's kind of the washing, right? Children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ. It's interesting. He says here that we are to shine like stars. In verse 16, there's actually two very common translations. There's some discrepancy of what the translation is of this idea of the word of God. In the NIV, the version I just read from, it says, we are to shine like stars as you hold out the word of life. In other words, as you show people the word of life, the word of God in your life. But there's a footnote in my Bible, maybe in yours as well. Another translation could say this, that you could say, shine like stars as you hold on to the word of life. In other words, as you hang on to and allow the word of God to change you, you can shine like stars. You know, both are biblically true. You can find other passages that talk about holding on to God's word and it will help you change your life. And there's other passages that say that you need to hold out, give out God's word, and in that way your light will shine. So I take them both, actually, because they're both biblically true. It's interesting, you know, that it says here, he speaks his word and he calls us as Christians to live as light. To live as light in a dark world. To shine the light of God through our lives. As we, whether we hold on to God's word or as we hold out, give out God's word. One pastor I read this week, he said this, you know, God speaks not just for us and our purposes. Nor does he speak just for our prosperity. In other words, to get things or for our safety or for our gratification. Those who receive the grace of God's saving relationship in his word are by that fact now able to show humankind, or in other words, to show people how to live. God's word changes us from the inside out so that our lives are changed. Not just so we have this intellect of, oh, I know some of God's word, I know some verses, or I know truths. No, but so it will change us. And we can do this by holding out God's word and by holding on to God's word to those around us. If you've been watching the news, hopefully you haven't, maybe, but if you've been watching the news, most of us have, you know, we've just all kinds of crazy things are going on in our culture, and we see the rampant things with sexual harassment. We see poverty all around us. We see the crazy politics that are going on. We see people acting in all kinds of strange ways. And all with all that's going on in our culture, though, Paul is saying here, because crazy stuff was going on in his culture too. He said, no matter what's going on in your culture, as Christians, as followers of Christ who hold on to God's word, we should shine. We should be the example of how we are to live. Of how we're to live in this world. That's a challenge, isn't it? God has spoken to us of how to live holy lives, how to live as light in a dark world. But here's the big question for me and for you individually. Will I listen? Will you listen? Will we listen to God's word to us? Will we listen and hear his written whispers in our lives? You know, we can sometimes be like the kid who was watching TV in the basement one evening and his dad called to him, "Mike, come on up for dinner." Nothing. Twice, the dad's calls were ignored for him to come to dinner. And just as his show ended, the dad shouted, "Mike, get up here now." Oh, the boy, young boy bounded up the stairs and his dad looks at him, "Where have you been?" The boy looked at him kind of innocently and said, "Well, I didn't hear when you called me the first two times." Aren't we like that? Sometimes we ignore God's calling, God's voice, God's word to us. We hear it, but we don't want to listen to it. And ultimately, we choose to not only ignore it, but ultimately disobey. But God wants us to hear and to listen as he speaks to us through his word. And so it comes kind of an obvious truth to you and to me that if we want to hear God, we must do something. And that is, we must increase our engagement with the Bible. I use that word, we're going to talk about it later, this idea of engagement, not just reading the Bible, okay, but engaging it. See, when you increase your engagement with the Bible, you increase your odds of hearing God. You increase your odds of hearing from God. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119, 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." God's word is a lamp. You know, now we have electricity. So, you know, back then they had to carry around lamps. And now, you know, we can flip on the lights, but the light is still the same. Electricity goes out. What do? We look for some kind of light. God's light reveals God's path and his desires for us. You want to know the direction that we should go in this dark and sinful world? Then listen to God's word. Listen to his written whispers to our lives as you read it. You know, I believe that we can refer any person to the Bible. And if they are open, if they are openly, honestly, intellectually, and persistently looking at God's word, that they will meet God and that God will speak to them. He's done that in many of your lives over the years. And it doesn't matter how old you are either. It doesn't matter if you're an adult, if you're a young person, if you're a child. God speaks to us all. You know, and that's why it's so important, especially for those of us who have children, why it's so important for us to read the Bible to our kids. That's why we are to read to them as children. That's why it's important for them to bring them to church on Sunday morning so they can have a class where they can be taught, hopefully, in a level that's right where they are. That's why we encourage kids to come and to invite their friends to Kingdom Kids so they can hear God's word. That's why we have VBS. That's why we encourage kids to memorize scriptures and these different things. You see, if we want children to know and hear God, we must help them to see and to hear the importance of God's word, and they must see it in our lives. Right? As parents. And so maybe we can be like Timothy and hopefully they could say about our kids that from infancy they were able to hear God's word. It's important at any age. It certainly was crucial for me as a teenager when I first became a Christian at the age of 16. Because once God's word, once God's wisdom begins to come into us, God is able to use that to mold us and to shape us. And he writes it on our heart and our mind so that as we go through life, we're able to, when we deal with things, he's able to bring those back. And you may not necessarily have memorized it, but you know the truth. You've heard it, and God can bring that back and work in your life. God will speak his word into our hearts and minds if we listen. There was a television program that preceded the Winter Olympics a few Olympics ago. It featured blind skiers that were being trained to slalom ski, you know, go in between the flags. As impossible as that may sound, they learned how to do that. How? Well, they were paired with sighted skiers, And the blind skiers were first taught just to be able to turn right and left on their skis down on the flats, right? You don't send them up the top of Mount Hood, although some mean friends do that to some people. Flashback. Anyway, still not over that. But anyway, my wife knows what I'm talking about. That's why I hate skiing. But anyway, they didn't do that to them. They taught them how to turn, but then as they kind of mastered that, they would take them up, you know, to a good slope. And what they would do is the sighted skier could be right next to them, and they begin to ski, and they would say, right! And they begin to turn right, and right as they got to the place, they say, left! And they would speak to them the directions of where they needed to go. It's a great picture, isn't it? It's a great picture of the Christian life. And these skiers would be able to finish the course. If they listened to their instructor, to the sighted instructor, they would do great. But a few of them, if they didn't listen, well, then all of a sudden, catastrophe, right? What a picture of the Christian life. God is the one there. He's the one who can see where we're going. He can see the obstacles. He can see the goal of how he wants us to go. But how many times do we kind of say, nah, I think I can see where I'm going, even though I'm blind. I can make my own decisions. What a picture. We need to solely rely on God's word. The truly sighted one, the God who sees all things. His word gives us direction and will help us to live this life and ultimately finish the course well. You and I must listen to God's word. We must listen to God's written whispers. And it is whispers, isn't it? As we talked about last week with the still small voice of God. And I've shared with you a couple times last week of how his still small voice spoke to me. And many of you have shared with me, and not many of you, a few of you shared how God has done that for you as well. You know, I remember a time just in the last few years when about 4 or 5 years ago, I found out my mother had Alzheimer's and my father just passed away. And I remember dealing with all of that and having to move my mom out of her house into different places to live and having to deal now with all of her bills and even later on of dealing with her imminent death. And I remember just being stressed and anxious and worrying at times about that. And time after time, God would bring back this scripture that I had memorized when I was a youth, I think. And I'd hear God speak to me about being anxious. And he would share with me something I learned from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and where he would say, Jim, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition. In other words, pray before me with thanksgiving, present your requests to me. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And part of that, or sometimes the whole verse would come to me, and I would pray. Okay, God, you're right. I need to bring it to you. I can't deal with this on my own. And I asked God for his help and his peace. And you know what? Time after time, God would calm my anxious heart. Didn't mean the problems went away. I'd still have to deal with it, but he calmed my anxious heart. And he would send a peace that I knew was only from him. I remember God speaking to me different times in my life when I wanted to respond to somebody who was not very nice to me, who said something in anger to me or rude to me. My first response was to be rude back or to respond in anger. But then I'd hear these words, Jim, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Doesn't pay back evil. Okay, God, I'll try to do that. I'd stop myself and listen to God's word to me. But you know, I ought to be honest too, that there were times where I didn't listen to God's word. Didn't listen to his voice. And I'd say something in anger, or I lusted in my heart, or I was selfish, or hurt someone with my words, and I would do that. And maybe it was moments or minutes or hours later, and God would convict me, and I would feel bad. I would feel guilty for what I'd done. And then I'd hear this voice, this other voice in my life say, you know, you're no good. You seem to do this all the time, Jim. God can't forgive you. God's not going to forgive you again. You asked him to forgive you that last week. And I'd hear Satan's whispers in a sense, in a real sense. But then I'd be reminded of 1 John 1:9, and God would say, Jim, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just, and I will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And God would speak that truth from 1 John 1:9. That if I'm sincere, God will forgive me. God speaks his word to us. And when you increase your time in the Bible, you're going to increase your ability to hear from God. And the only way you can increase your time in the Bible is if you engage, right? Engage in the Bible. All of us, all of you, I don't care where you've come from, how you grew up, how long you've been a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian, but God speaks to every person. He wants you to hear him. He will speak to anybody who humbly comes before him with a burning desire to find and hear God. And one of the most predictable and most practical ways we hear from God is through his word, is to read and apply God's word. And that's why one of our goals, and we shared this last week, and you're going to hear it different times. One of the big goals we have for each of us, and it's personalized, that I will regularly spend time meeting with God by reading God's word and prayer with the purpose to hear from God for my life. That's one of the ways that we can hear God. And that's a goal for each one of you that we have for you. You know, too many Christians, they kind of get in a rut. We get in a plateau. And it's interesting, we get to that place and many times we blame others. Matter of fact, many times I hear people, they blame God. Well, because of the circumstances God's put in my life, that's why I'm not doing very well spiritually. Or they blame the pastor. I've heard this, you know, you're just not teaching us deep enough stuff. Or, you know, you need to do this, teach that. Or they blame their spouse. Well, it's my spouse's fault. If they were nicer to me and not such a grump or nag or whatever, then I could really, you know, I could focus on God. They blame the church. Well, if the church, you know, would do more stuff for me, then I could really go closer to God. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's your responsibility to grow spiritually. It's your responsibility to get into the Word. Now, we're going to do our best as church and hopefully your spouse and he is a pastor. And God certainly does his part. But you know what? It comes up to you. So stop making excuses that you're too busy or too lazy or whatever it is. And realize that you got to engage with God and engage in his Word. To hear his whispers, because God doesn't always yell. It's kind of like us parents. Sometimes he gets tired of yelling at us. He just says, yeah, you know what? I'm going to whisper to you. It's up to you. We need to engage in God's word. Let me give you just a few practical ways that you can do that. Maybe for some of you have been reading the Bible. Maybe you've been doing that for a while. One way that has really helped me, especially this last summer, and I've done it in the past, some of you have, is to journal. Is it take time, just get a piece of paper, or maybe you want to get a journal or whatever. And as you read God's word, take it slow and listen and write down what you sense God is saying in that passage. And I believe God speaks to us. And write that down. And then stop and think about, okay, what does God want me to do? Does he want me to do something about this? Is he pointing out some person? So journal, that is something that really helps focus on listening to God, not just reading something and going on. For others, maybe you want to slow down and read a chapter a week. You know, sometimes maybe you read a chapter a day or you're trying to go through the Bible in a year. That's great. But just slow down and maybe you want to read a chapter and read it for the whole week and come back to it and you learn some new things. Go a little deeper. Look at some other passages that relate to that. Or maybe you want to read a book of the Bible. Maybe start Philippians or Ephesians or 2 Timothy and to read it over the next month, the next 2 months, and to go a little deeper and not just do it to read, but read to hear God. Or maybe you want to study a book that's out there, like a number of our women are doing on Sunday mornings, to stop and have a book that's there that helps you ask questions, to learn the names of God and what they mean and how they relate to you. Or maybe it's something else. Or if you're really brand new to this, maybe it's just to start a devotional, or you have a study Bible that has some notes in the bottom and you read. And you may just read a couple of verses and you read some of those study notes and listen to how God has spoken to somebody else and he can speak to you, as we'll see next week, through others as well. But the key is to be in God's word. For others, some of us, maybe the challenge is, maybe we need to hide God's word in our heart. I printed off some of these, some passages. You see the different areas, okay, of salvation, assurance, or temptation. And there's some different verses that maybe you want to memorize. Maybe one a week or one every other week. I encourage you, you know, put these in your Bible, put them someplace, and once maybe just memorize one passage a week or one every other week and hide God's word. Maybe there's an area that really stands out to you that you need help in. All this will help you engage in God's word. You may not hear God every time you read the Bible, But you know what? You're going to hear him a lot more than you are right now. We need to saturate ourselves with his word. God wants to speak to us. And he'll bring those things back to you. So when you're at work and you're dealing with a tough worker or a tough coworker, God will show you how to react. Or when some situation comes up and there's this ethical question, you'll hear God say, how are you supposed to handle it? Or for young people, when you're at school, as you hide God's word in your heart, as you listen to the truths, you go back and you're able to kind of know, okay, yeah, I think I know how to take this test. Or I know how to deal with my friends in the locker room or on the sports field or at home when my parents aren't there. God speaks to us in his word. Yes, when we read it, but then he brings it back to our lives, back to our spirits as we live life. God wants to speak to us. What does his word do? As we engage, it washes us, doesn't it? It washes those things, that those false beliefs, those bad attitudes, those misguided plans and hopes that we have. And then God's word shows us how to live, to shine like light, to be an example to those around us, to shine as stars in a dark world. God speaks to us and we can hear him. I believe it. I know it. And if we engage, if you listen, if you hear from God's word, God will speak to you as well. Let's pray. Let me invite the worship team to come up. Father, thank you for your word. Ah, I love it. I've fallen in love with your word just because it is yours. And Lord, help us to each person here to gain a perspective of how important you've given us your words. And yes, you speak to us in your still small voice, but you've also given us your written whispers to speak to us too. So may we be people of your word, to allow it to wash us and allow it to be those people of light that you call us to be. Amen.